Hope you have a wonderful day. We continue. We left off. We are in the first chapter of Metzia, Irzin, 14a, 10 lines from the top. We dedicate this class to our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those on the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. May all the hostages return home safely to their families. The Nishmas of Nachum, the Moshe, Shmuel said, "My time of the Rabbanon, what's the reasoning of the rabbis? You argue with Rabbi Meir, who say that even a document that does not have, it's not written explicitly that the borrower is mortgaging all of his properties to the repayment of the loan to the lender, it goes without saying. The fact that a document was written, that means automatically all of his properties are mortgaged to pay, and if he sells the property after the loan, the lender could collect, could take the property away from the buyer for repayment for his loan. So what's the reasoning of the rabbis?" So he answers, "Savri, they hold, it was a mistake of the Sefer. The Sefer should have known better. It was his omission. And therefore, it's as if it was written." It was no sane, normal person would throw his money away. I'm giving you money, and I'm writing a document, and you're not committing, you're not mortgaging your property. If he doesn't write a document, that means he trusts. It's all on trust. It's verbal. And therefore, you can't collect them from the property that was sold. But here, he's writing a document. I mean, he's not throwing his money away. So surely that was his intent. And if it wasn't written in the document, that was a mistake, an omission by the scribe. Did Shmuel indeed say this? Shmuel said, Shmuel said that if someone sells his property, so to put into the document that the owner, the seller, takes responsibility, that if the creditor of the seller will come to collect his debt and will extract this field from the buyer, this property from the buyer, so three things. Firstly, the seller has to agree and commit and give him permission to put in writing that he's committing, that A, he's going to make him good, that he can come and pay for the field if it's grabbed, taken away from him. Secondly, he's responsible. Secondly, that any improvement, any appreciation of the field before the creditor, the seller's creditor came and took it away from the buyer, the seller has to pay for any improvement, appreciation. And three, he's going to pay him from the bestest, choicest property. So unless you include that, he gives permission, explicit permission for you to include it in the document, if it's taken away, it's a risk. You buy a property, it's a risk. And if it's taken away, I'm not taking any responsibility. And even if he agrees to take responsibility, he's only going to pay for the principal, whatever money you lost on the sale, but not in any improvement, appreciation of the property. And even if he agrees in appreciation to pay, not only for the principal, but also for the appreciation of the property, you're not going to collect from his best and choicest property. You'll collect from the average. So Shmuel says clearly that you don't take it for granted, unless it's stated explicitly, unless he gives permission. You have to ask him, the seller if he agrees, and if not, it's not automatically included. So the Gemara says, Lema, let's say, Mando Amar Ha, it's a contradiction. The one who said that Shmuel said the reason of the rabbis is because even if it's omitted in the contract, it's an omission by the scribe. Is not the same Shmuel, is not the same one who said in the name of Shmuel that you can't include it in the dialogue. You have to ask permission before you include it in the document. But it says like Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Because Kan Bishtar Avod, Leyov, Inishizov Zibichdi, and Kan Mekachamem, Kadov, Inishizov Naraliyim. It's two different cases. In the case of a loan, a person doesn't throw out his money for nothing. So surely the lender wanted that commitment from the borrower that he will get paid. And even if he sells his property, he will be able to collect it from the buyer. And if it's not written in the contract, it's an act of omission. Versus in the case of selling, possible a person will buy for a day, even if it's risky. And even if he knows it's only going to be for a short time. He knows that it may be collected. Because it's a risk. Firstly, who says it'll ever be collected? And even if it's collected, maybe it'll happen down the road. So in the meanwhile, he gets the benefit from the property. So he's not just throwing out money for no reason. It's a speculation. But it's a worthwhile speculation. It could take years. Firstly, it can never happen. And even if it happens, it could take years. So therefore, he's willing to take that risk. People in real estate are willing to take that risk. Things change, but in the meanwhile, I'll get the benefit. And to prove this point, to make this distinction, this father, Bar'i, bought a choice property from his sister. Also, and his sister owed money. So the sister's creditor came and grabbed it away from Avur Bar'i. Also, the Kamed Mashmuel, they came before Shmuel. He demanded from his sister, give me back the money. I bought the property. You give me back the money. It was taken away from me because of your debt. Amalei, so Shmuel asked, what is it? Kasvalach? Achrayas? Did she write in the document that she's taking responsibility? If anything happens, if it's taken away from you, she will make you whole? Amar, alei, like, no, it wasn't written in the document. Amalei, so Shmuel said, okay, that's the case. Zil Shama, go in peace. And you have nothing, you have no court case. There's no case here. Because it wasn't written in the document. She never committed. Amalei, but he said, Shmuel, you yourself said, I heard you, you yourself taught us that if it's not written in the document, it's no mission by the scribe. And Amalei, he says, Shmuel said to him, that I was talking about a case of a loan, because no one's going to throw out money for nothing. Unless it's written in the document, he's not going to get his money back. He has to have a guarantee. And if it's not written, it must have been a mistake. I was studying Mekach HaMemkin in a case of buying, purchasing. I never said it. A person will take a risk and buy knowing that there's no guarantees. So unless the guarantee is written in the document, there are no guarantees and it's your loss. In the case of a loan, he'll get nothing. I'm throwing out my money and I'm not getting my money back. But in the case of purchasing, there he'll get his money's worth. Even if he doesn't get to keep it, he can get his money's worth. It's a worthwhile risk. Because in the meanwhile, he has the property. Here he's giving his money away. So that his money is gone. He can't use it. He can't do anything with it. And if he's no guarantee he'll get it back, he's just going to throw his money out for nothing. Here, I bought the property, so I'm sitting in the property and I can make use of it as long as I can, and I'm going to get something out of it. So therefore, he's willing to speculate and willing to risk. Abaya said, Reuben who sells a field. So Shimon is the buyer, and he sells him, the seller, Reuben. Takes responsibility that if a field is taken away from him, he will repay him. And the creditor, the lender of Reuven, the seller comes and katar pleminei, and he collects the debt that Reuven owes him. He collects it from this field that Reuven sold to Shimon. Dinahu, the halach is also Reuven mishtay dinamadei. Reuven can go and argue that it should stay in Shimon's hand. So the lender can say, it's nothing to do with you, it's none of your business. It's between me and the one who purchased the property from you, and I'm coming to collect my debt. So you're not the defendant here, so you can't speak. No one is calling you to the court. I'm not calling you, I'm not summoning you, and you have no right to mix in. If you have any complaints against me, take me to a court case. So the Gemara says, no, he's allowed to come to the court, and he can claim any claim that he has that will keep the property in the hands of the buyer. Let's say he says, I already paid you, you owe me money anyway from somewhere else. Why? Why is he allowed to be involved in this court case? Because he says to him, Reuven, the seller says, if you take it away from the buyer, from Shimon, he's going to come back to me, I have to pay for it. So of course it involves me. So I'm getting involved in this case. It affects me. Others say, and that's the halacha, even if the seller of Reuven does not take responsibility and does not commit that he's going to, if the field is grabbed away from the buyer from Shimon, Shimon can't collect come back and ask for the money back. Nevertheless, he can get involved. Why? He can say, I don't want him to be upset at me. Yes, legally, he has no legal recourse if it's taken away from him, and I'm not responsible, but it's still going to affect me. It's going to affect my reputation. A bad name is worse than all the money in the world can make up for a bad name. Another thing Abaye said, Reuven sells a field to Shimon. He doesn't take responsibility. If the field will be taken away from Shimon, Shimon can't come back and ask for his money back. And then there were those who come and start arguing that the field belongs to them. He says, Reuven had no right to sell you the field. It's not his to sell. And now the buyer has buyer's remorse. Why did I buy this field? So many problems and headaches, and this one is claiming that I had no right to buy it in the first place, that my seller had no right to sell it to me. So he says, if he didn't yet settle into the field, didn't enter the field, he can go back on this whole deal. But once he settles in, any yachalas. The seller says to the buyer, you bought a sack full of nuts. You bought a lemon, but it's too late. Sabras for kiblis, you accepted it. That you bought it, you knew it was risky, and you accepted the risks, and tough luck. You didn't do any title search. If you would have done research, you would have found out there's problems, other people have claims on this land, there's an argument, there's a conflict, there's a fight. You just bought it. You didn't do your due diligence, so you accepted it. You accepted the... So it's on you. But if he didn't yet enter the field... So Rashi says, and Taisus, he didn't give the money. He didn't pay the money yet. If he paid the money, property is purchased by money, then it's a done deal. It's too late. He didn't give the money yet. If he didn't give the money yet, what's the problem? Then of course, I'm not paying you. I didn't know there's all these problems with this field, so why should I pay you? Yeah. So he says, no, he did a kinyan. He did another kinyan, like a barter, which is a valid kinyan. But he didn't give the money yet. And therefore, if he doesn't do something that demonstrates that he settled into the land, that he purchased it despite everything, and that he's serious about the purchase, then it's too late. He can't take it back. But if he's not, he said, even though he doesn't have to pay, doesn't have to give the money. The Gemara asks, have a chazaka. At what point do we say that he's like settled in the field and there's no going back? He's like, what it says, Daesh Hamitzri. When he steps on the boundary, he fixes the boundaries and he steps on them to strengthen it. Others say when he has a bordering field property, and that's why he put it, and he removes the boundary, erases the boundary separating a few fields. Others say that it means he goes around to look to before he gives the money. Yeah, either made the deal, but before I hand you the money, I want to go check out the field. Let me check it out. Let me inspect it. So he makes the rounds to inspect it. Because you haven't made the rounds yet, his heart is not into it. I never had a chance to really check it out. Once he checks it out, then it's too late. So since he checked it out, and it's already a done deal, therefore the seller can say, now pay me the money that you owe. And he can say, well, if someone claims that it's his, here, take the land and give him the land instead of the money. No, he says no, because the money, the price that we agreed on is the fair market value of the property. But now that there are complaints and arguments and there's a claim on the property, now the property went down in value. It's worth a lot less. No one wants a headache property where there's litigation and arguments. So if you just give me back the property, now it's not this doesn't have the same value that you committed. So I'm sorry, I'm going to hold you to it. Whatever you bought at the highest market value, that's what you're going to pay me. And others say, we just said that this only applies if you bought it without the seller taking responsibility. No, even if the seller takes responsibility, if the field will be taken away from the buyer, he can come collect the money that he laid out from the seller. Also, he can't back out of the deal. Show me that it was taken away from you. My commitment was that if and when the field is taken away from you, then I'll pay you. Until the field is taken away from you, you get to hold on to it. So pay me the money and the deal is on. And if and when the field will be taken away by the court, then come to me and then I'll pay you. Itma, we learned, if someone sells a property, a field to his friend, it turns out he stole a little property. It wasn't his to sell. And the owner comes and takes back his property. So Rav says, Yeshli Mois, Yeshli Shvach. The buyer can go and take, not only could he collect the money that he laid out when he bought the field, but also all the appreciation. He invested in the field, he plowed it, he sowed it, he fertilized it, he improved, he appreciated the field. So that appreciation he can also collect from the thief who sold him this stolen land. Question is, wait a minute, if the field appreciated, the field improved, why can't he collect it from the owner? I gave you back a better field, so you should pay me. Listen, you should get your field back, but what it was worth at the time that it was stolen. Because of my effort and my labor and I improved the field, he should collect that appreciation, the principle that he laid out that you get from the thief, the buyer should get from the thief, but for the appreciation and that what the owner will now benefit from, he should get from the owner. So Rashi says, no, we're talking about a case when it was stolen, it was actually appreciated, it was worth a lot. Then the thief neglected the field. It was a stolen field, didn't care for it, and neglected it, and it depreciated. And when he sold it to the buyer, to cultivated the field, took care of it, and brought it back up, again, appreciated the way it was when it was stolen. So as far as the owner is concerned, he doesn't benefit anything. He got back the field that was stolen from him. So I'm not giving you a dime. I didn't get any improvement. But the thief, it's his responsibility. He sold him a depreciated field, and he pretended as if he was the owner. And the buyer, based on that, the buyer went and invested and worked hard and appreciated the field. So he gets to collect from the thief not only the value of what he paid, but also the value of the appreciation. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel argues. Shmuel says, no, Mois Yeshlei. He can get back the money that he laid out for the purchase. Shvach Heinle, tough luck. He gets nothing for the appreciation. He worked for nothing. There's nothing he could do. No one is paying him in this case. The owner is not paying him because it was appreciated when it was stolen from him. So he doesn't, nothing changed for him. I'm not paying you a dime. There's no added value. And the thief, there's nothing he could do. Now the Gemara is trying to explain why. What's Shmuel's reasoning? Why shouldn't the thief pay him? He sold him on a false assumption. And based on that assumption, he worked so hard and he appreciated the field. Why can't he collect it? Why can't the buyer collect it from the thief? So the Gemara says, What if when the seller sold it to the buyer, he's pretending that it's legitimate, it's his to sell, and he's selling, and he takes responsibility. If anything happens, he's also going to pay, not only will he pay him back the money that he's laying out to buy the field, but he'll also pay back for any appreciation. So what's the law then? What's the question? If time is, well, what the, depends on what the reason of Shmuel is. Why Shmuel says that the buyer cannot collect appreciation from the thief. Is it because he never took responsibility? When he bought it, he never took responsibility. When he sold it, the seller never took responsibility, even if it was a legitimate sale. He never took responsibility for the appreciation. If for whatever reason the field will be taken away from you, responsibility to pay you. I'll pay you back the money you laid out, but not for any appreciation. So therefore, in this case, when he does spell out that he's taking responsibility for the appreciation, then indeed the thief would have to pay not only for the principal, but also for the money that he laid out for the principal, but also for any appreciation. Mal time the Shmuel. Mishun le pirish vachavacha pirish la edilma. Perhaps time of the Shmuel, the reasoning of Shmuel is, That because it turns out that there's no sale here. The whole sale was a fiction. It was a figment of the imagination. It wasn't his to sell. There's no sale. There's no buyer. The whole thing was a charade. It was a con job. Therefore, all it is basically, so it turns into a loan. The buyer gives this guy, a stranger, a loan. I'm not getting anything for it. You're not selling me anything, and I'm not getting anything. I'm just giving you a loan. So if he pays back the loan, if he just pays back what he laid out, the thief pays back what he laid out, so it's like a loan, and you're paying back the loan. But if you're going to pay back for the appreciation, then it's like ribis, it's like interest. I lent you $100, and you're giving me back $150. I didn't have to give him less than kak mesik ribis. It appears like ribis. Of course, it's not ribis, because the whole thing was a fiction, it was a sale, it was never structured as a loan. He thought it's a sale. Amalei. So Rav Huna answered, once he said yes, once he said lav, no, but it was weak. He was going back and forth. He couldn't decide. He might have said, Itmar, we learned Amram Nachman Shmuel. Amram Nachman said the name of Shmuel. Mois Yeshle Shmachin Lai. That when he said that he can only collect the money, the buyer can collect them, the thief can collect the money that he laid out. But Shmachin Lai can collect the appreciation. Even if he spelled it out, even if he took upon himself responsibility in this fictitious sale, he says that if the field, whatever reason, the field will be taken to grab from you, I'm not only going to pay you back the money you laid out, I'm also going to pay for the appreciation, all the work you're putting in, and the appreciation. Nevertheless, in this case, the thief only pays back the principal. My time, or why? Because keep the karkeinle. Since there is no property, the whole sale was a fiction. He never had anything, he never took anything, he never received anything. So therefore, in this karma, so if he's going to pay him, it's like a loan. I lend you money and you're giving me back more. It appears like interest. Therefore, you can't collect the appreciation. So, Rav Nachman, there's questions Rav Nachman stating now in the name of Shmuel, that the purchaser from the thief can only collect and get back his money from the thief, not the improvement, appreciation. He says, well, we learned in the Mishnah, we already learned this, in fact, it gets in the Mitzian, Achilles Pedes, Lashraka Kois. You can't, if a person has to pay for the fruits that were eaten, or for the appreciation, or from Mazan Yishav Abanis, a person makes a commitment to the Ksuba that after his death, his estate will take care of, will take care of his wife and his daughters. So all of these payments you cannot collect when the chasam shabbat, if from property, his property that was sold to others, you can't extract it from them to pay for the support of the wife and the support of after his death, of the support of his daughters, or to pay for the appreciation of the property, or to pay for the eating of the fruits. Why? They take an oilam, otherwise business will come to an abrupt halt. Who's going to buy? Okay, things that have a set amount, so you should have done your due diligence, do your title search, if you know there's any prior commitments, any mortgages, so you know what you're getting into. But these are all things that there's no set amount. I don't know how much fruits is going to be, and I don't know how much appreciation and support for the wife and the children and the daughters. It could be endless, it could go on for years. So who's going to do business? I'm going to be holding the hat, I'm going to be held responsible. The support, if it's a fixed thing, fine, I'll take that risk. So that's what the rabbis made an enactment, even though technically they should be mortgageable to pay all these payments. And you should extract it from the buyer. But nevertheless, the rabbis made an enactment, the tikkun neil. So what do we see from this Mishnah? That you can't collect from property that was sold. But from his own property that he still has, from his estate, you do collect. Also from his property, you do collect. It says clearly in the Mishnah, Shvach Kakois, for the appreciation of land. Surely, my love, surely isn't he talking about a case? If someone buys, we're talking about our case, where a person who buys from the thief, who pretended that he is the owner and he sold him a property, and then there was a bill of goods, the true owner comes and takes back his property. And the thief now collects from the buyer, from the buyer collects from the thief not only the money that he laid out, but also any improvement that he made in the property. So we see clearly that you could collect improvement of the property. Not like Shmuel says that you can never collect for the improvement, because it's like ribis; it appears has the appearance of interest. The Gemara says, "Loi, no, you misunderstood. The Mishnah is talking about balchayv. We're talking about the creditor comes and collects from the buyer because the seller owes money and he doesn't have what to pay. So the creditor goes and takes this property, and this property has been mortgaged to pay. So if the seller commits himself that if any property will be taken away from the buyer, he's not only going to make him good, give him back the money that he laid out for the purchase of the property, but he's also any improvement, any appreciation, he'll pay for it. So he's saying, so the buyer could only collect from fields that he has, property that he owns, but anything that he sold, he can't collect because there's no fixed amount. If the Mishnah is referring to a creditor, I'm not talking about a case of a theft. Look at the beginning of the Mishnah. It says emitzian achilas peters, that you don't remove mortgageable property. You don't have the buyer can't take from the buyer mortgageable property to pay for the eating of the fruits. What does that mean? If he's saying that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a balchoy, that someone, the creditor comes and collects, and when he collects the field, he also collects the fruits that were all ripe. He takes the field with all the fruits, and now the buyer comes and wants his money, not only his money back, he wants for all the fruits. He wants also the money back for all the fruits. So we're saying he can collect it from the seller, but he can't collect it if his seller sold property to others, because there's no fixed amount. But how can you say that? That a creditor could only collect from the property, but he can't collect from any fruits that are already ripe. That the buyer gets to keep. And then after he harvests these ripe fruits, he takes it. Then he gives him the property in payment of the loan. So therefore, there's nothing to collect there. What's he coming to the seller to pay him for the fruits? He never gave the fruits. He gets to keep the fruits, according to Shmuel. The creditor can take from the buyer the fruits, the ready ripe fruits. Elipshita, surely you have to say, but Geisel and Nigzel is talking about a case where the thief sold the property to the buyer. Innocent buyer thought that it's a legitimate sale. And turns out there was no sale here. It wasn't his to sell. And there are fruits. So now he wants to get all the fruits back. So he's saying he can only collect the fruits from the buyer, from the seller, but he can't collect it from any property that the seller legitimately sold to others. So Medereisha because of Nigzal, since the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about a case of stealing, this when the thief sells the property, it's a sefer. The whole Mishnah is talking about the same thing. So when he says in the second case about the appreciation, he's also talking about a case where the thief sold the field and the buyer appreciated the field, and then the owner comes and takes his field back. And now he's saying not only could he get back the money that he laid out from the seller, from the thief, he could also get back for the appreciation. As long as the thief has properties to pay back with, he can't go and collect it from any property that the thief sold to others by the enactment of the rabbis. So you see clearly, not like Shmuel, not like Amnachum said the name of Shmuel, that he could, the buyer from the thief could collect not only the principal, but also for the appreciations. But answers me the idi. What's the proof? Hakadisa, Hakadisa. The beginning of the Mishnah, the first case is talking about a case of a loan. And the second case of fruits. And the second case of the Mishnah, he's talking about appreciation. He's talking about a thief, someone who buys it from a thief. But in the Braisa, we learn clearly not so. It says, L'shvach karkois ketzad. He spells out. The Braisa is usually more explicit, more detailed. So he spells out, what does the Mishnah in Gittin mean? When he says that when you come to collect, when you come to collect the appreciation of the field from the seller, you can't collect it from, if he doesn't have any free property to pay you with, you can't collect it from any property that he sold to others. So he spells it out. Ketzer, how is this? We're talking about a case, he says it clearly, that he stole. He stole a field from his friend, and the owner comes and takes back his field. So when he collects, for the principal, the money that he laid out, if the thief, the seller, who sold him this fictitious deal, if he can't pay back for the money that he laid out, so then they can go collect from any property that the thief sold to others legitimately. But that's only for the principal. But the appreciation that he can only collect if the thief, the seller, has free property, but he can't, if he has nothing to collect from, there's nothing to collect from, he can't go and collect from any property that the thief sold to others. Okay, now what does the braisa mean? Elam, if you're going to say literally, what does it mean? Gazlan mangavi, what do you mean? If you read the braisa literally, the thief steals a field, and then the owner comes and takes it back. So when he collects, who is he? The thief is collecting from anyone. What's he collecting from? He's a thief. There's nothing to collect. There's no one to collect there. Elalav, surely, what's he talking about? We're talking about a thief who stole it and then he sold it. And it had the appearance of a real sale, and the innocent buyer thought he's buying from the owner. And the buyer appreciated the field, improved the field. And then the owner comes and takes his field back. So now the buyer from the thief, from this fictitious seller, can come and demand not only the money that he laid out, but also the appreciation, all the sweat and toil investment that he invested in the field, and because of his work, if he improved the field appreciated. So the Braitzer says that's what the Mishnah means, that the principal, that if the thief has nothing to collect from for the principal, he can go after anything, any property that the thief has sold. But for the appreciation, that he can't collect from anything that he sold. He can only collect from the property that the seller has. So we see clearly, the Braisa spells out clearly, not like Shmuel, that you can collect from the thief not only the principal, but also the appreciation. Anyway, you have to explain the Braisa. The literal meaning of the Braisa makes no sense. It says when he collects, the simple reading is referring to the thief. And you ask, what a thief collects, what's he collect? He's a thief. And you have to interpret, you have to interpret what the Braisa means, and you have to put in words into the Braisa. So therefore, you can say that he doesn't mean, since you have to anyway amend the Braisa, that you can't, it doesn't mean its literal meaning, so change it, that it's not talking about a thief, it's talking about a creditor. So Gemara asks, Tashma, that the same Beraisa says, explains the beginning of the Mishnah, Achilas Pedres, Ketzan, also is talking about a case of theft, not a case of a loan, credited. Someone steals a field from his friend, and then the owner comes and takes it back from him, when he collects, and you can collect the principal. Also, in the Chosim Shabbatim, if he can't pay, it could be collected from fields that were sold. And the fruits, he can only collect if he has free fields, free property. Now, that's the Braisa. What are we talking about again? If you're going to say the literal reading, it seems like when he collects, who is he? He is referring to the thief. A thief collects? Gazlam Mangavi. Who is he collecting from? Why should he collect? He's a thief. There's nothing to collect. Elalav. There's no loss there. I mean, he stole and he had to return what he stole. Who is he collecting from? Elalav. Surely we're talking about Yeshu Gazasan, Machaveira Yamachra. Va'acher Vishbicha. That someone stole a field from his friend and he sold it. The thief sold it. Someone else, and the buyer improved the field. appreciated the field. And therefore, now you have fruits that will ripen. And the owner comes and he takes everything away from the buyer. And that's why he says, when the buyer now goes back to the seller, the thief who sold him a bill of goods, and because of him, he put all the sweat and toil. So it's not enough that he gives him back the money he laid out. He has to also give back for the pay him for his appreciation. So he says, when he comes, so for the money that he laid out, if the seller, the thief, has nothing to pay him with, he can also go and collect from any property that the thief sold to others. Others bought from him, but for the improvement, since there's no fixed value, there's no fixed price, therefore the rabbis made an enactment that he can only collect if the thief has free property. But if he doesn't have, and he can't go and collect from any property that the thief sold. So we see clearly, according to Shmuel, why? According to Shmuel, just like he can't collect for appreciation, also he shouldn't be able to collect for the fruits. It's the same idea. Since there's no sale here, the whole thing, sale was a fiction. So it was more like a loan, and if he's able to collect more than the money he laid out, it has the appearance of heribis, of interest, like an interest loan. So how could the Braise say that he can also collect the fruits from the thief? So Rav answers, you know, we're talking about it here. When the thief stole the field was full of ripe fruits. And the thief ate the fruits. Then, instead of, not only wasn't he productive, he ruined the field. He dug pits. And now the owner comes and he wants the property, but he wants him to pay for all the damage that he's done to the property. So he says, so when the owner comes and demands the principal, what it was worth when he stole it, when the land was worth when he stole it, that if the thief can't pay him, he can go after any property that the thief sold to others. From his buyers, and he can go and collect it from them. But the bon nigzal was a pedis, he comes to collect the fruits, gave him chasam nechayra. That he can only collect if the thief has free property. If not, he can't collect it from the buyers of the thief, any property that was sold by the thief. Okay, to be continued, everyone have a wonderful day.